Save big during Labor Day at Lowe's. Get up to 40% off select major appliances. Plus, buy more to get up to an additional 20% off. Shop even more savings with 3 Stay Green 1 cubic foot vegetable and flower garden soil bags for $10. This Labor Day, take care of your home for less at Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
This is continuous coverage.
Continuous coverage.
Continuous coverage.
In the trial of Lori Vallow Daybill
from the Hidden Killers podcast.
Hidden Killers podcast.
We are on day number 4 of testimony from the 13th of April of 2023. This is segment number 2. Let's continue.
And Judge, I'll indicate I'm getting close to the point of asking to admit an exhibit that's about a little over 20 minutes long. If that is admitted and published, I don't know if you'd like to take a mid-morning break now or continue through that.
Let's go ahead and go forward now and take the break. It's how long, 20 minutes?
A little over 20 minutes.
Okay, let's keep going at this point.
Thank you. Ms. Gibb, did you share a recording with law enforcement at some point?
I did.
When was that recording made?
I believe sometime in December, the beginning of December.
Was it a recording of a conversation that you were party to?
Yes.
Who else is on that call?
Lori and Chad and myself.
Did you, in fact, make the recording?
I did.
And if you were to hear a portion of that recording, do you believe that you would be able to recognize that?
Yes.
Your Honor, I have what's marked as State's Exhibit 42. I would ask to be allowed to play a portion of that for identification purposes.
Any objection?
Your Honor, I'm not sure if we're just going to play a portion of it or the entire conversation. We'd rather that the court court hear the entire conversation.
The portion was just simply to lay foundation, I think, for identification purposes.
If the defense will stipulate to the admission, I'm happy to play the full thing. It was just for identification purposes. I didn't know if we wanted her to identify it first.
I think we've all heard it. Well, both sides have heard it. If it's not what it purports to be, I'll certainly object right at the beginning.
Okay, and why don't we just get it started? You can pause it and lay that identification foundation. I'll confirm again whether or not the defense then objects to it being admitted. Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
This is a record. This is a recording on December 8th at 3:43 p.m. And I am calling Chad Abel's phone number. And hopefully I will be talking to both of them, Chad and Lori. So here goes the phone call.
All right, Ms. Blake, can you pause it at that point? Thank you. So, again, to lay that foundation of identification, Mr. Thomas, you indicate you previously reviewed this exhibit. Do you have any concerns going forward that this is the correct exhibit you've previously reviewed?
No, Your Honor, this is the exhibit that we were anticipating.
All right. Is there any objection? Then 42 needs to be admitted before published, so it's been moved to be admitted. Does the defense object to the admission of Exhibit 42?
No, Your Honor.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Thomas. So, Ms. Blake, apologies for the interruption. You can publish this now.
And I will just make the record, so for defense and the court's benefit, I have that the total duration is going to be 21 minutes and 53 seconds.
Okay. Thank
just
you.
So Ms. that comports with counsel's copy.
It does.
All right. It can be published at this time, and it is admitted.
Hi, Chad. Hey, Lori.
Hi. Hey, it's not speaker.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
How are you guys? Hey, Kay. How are you doing, babe? I'm doing pretty good, thanks. I was wondering, where are you guys?
We're just hanging it up.
Hanging it up? Are you in Idaho? I just want to ask you a question, if you don't mind, Lori.
Yeah,
I want to know, remember we talked about JJ going to Kay's house, and he told me he went there, and now he's not there? I was wondering what happened.
Well, I had to move in somewhere else because of her actions, so...
Was she doing something? Like, was she trying to come get him or something? Or, like, trying to kidnap him?
Well, she said that oftentimes before, but,
Okay, I asked Chad the other day, I was like, hey, where is JJ? And he said, for my security, he didn't want me to know, so is there a reason I should be in danger to know where he is?
No, it's nobody. It's his danger. It's the danger that there's people after me.
Okay.
So
if you knew, that puts you in a danger.
Well, just in a bad position.
Yeah, bad position.
Everybody, if they don't know anything, then they don't have to say they know.
Right, so you're just worried. Okay.
I'm just to keep him protected and
keep you protected.
And keep everybody else.
I appreciate that. I was wondering why you told the police why he was with me.
I just needed to talk to somebody so I wouldn't have to tell them where he really was, because they were going to tell Kay where he is.
Yeah, so do you think it's like your family? Or, like your family, your dad, or,
Well, not my whole family, but as you know, most of my family is working against me and with her, basically.
Yeah. Is JJ safe?
He is safe and happy.
Okay, well, that's good to hear. Are you afraid of anything? Like, are you afraid to tell me that you're just afraid that he, that I could be in danger? Like, if I knew, how could that hurt me? I don't understand. Like, it hurt me if I knew where he was.
Well, I'm just not telling anybody so that nobody has to say where he is or get questioned where he is, so I can keep him as safe as possible.
Yeah. okay. I hope, well, I hope that he's okay. I hope you guys are okay. I did have a question. I asked Al at one point, your brother, if I wanted to know, you know, like where he was, and he said I did not want to know, and that he could not be found. So what does that mean?
Time out on your laptop.
Also, that nobody has to be worried about it. I mean, nobody has to be questioned about it, so he can be safe.
Yeah, so are you, I mean, are you, how long are you going to be away for? Like, how, I mean, are you ever going to be able to come out and come back to society again? Or are you going to keep, you know, like, come back? I mean, like, what does that look like?
I will do whatever the Lord needs me to do every day, so.
I just wondered if I was ever going to see you again.
Absolutely, you will.
Okay, so. Yeah. So maybe when they're done chasing you, you'll be able to come out of. Maybe you'll come out again, or.
Yeah, I mean, it's a ridiculous thing for them to be working with Kay to find me. There's nothing that's gone on that's. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're working with her in some dark capacity. The police are working with her in some dark capacity. There's no reason for them to be after me in the first place.
Hmm. Now, has she threatened you at all?
Yes, lots of times.
Oh, boy. What did she say?
Well, it's in emails and everything.
Oh. So, like, she said she was going to come take them, or she was...
There's a lot of things.
Yeah. Really? Well, that sounds like it. I'm just worried for you guys because, you know, he's missing, and, you know...
I know exactly where he is. He's perfectly fine.
Okay, well, I hope so. I have a scripture I wanted to share with you, if you don't mind.
I love it.
I was thinking about some of the things you guys have gone through, and I saw the scripture today, and I wanted to
ask you a question. Let me ask you a question about scripture. Okay. So, did Alma turn himself into King Noah, or what was he required to be?
Well, King Noah was incredibly wicked.
Yes.
So he fled his evil ways, which is adultery and. And living righteously and breaking all the commandments.
Right. So what was he required to do, Alma?
He had to go and flee so that he would be safe and then help other people realize how, you know, jacked up the system was and the government was.
What about Moroni? What was he required to do at the end?
To carry on those plates and bury them. That was his responsibility.
What did he have to do to do that?
He had to hide because they were so everybody's killing everybody in the society. Everybody was dying. They were killing all the natives.
Well, and the scriptures had to hide in the cavity of a rock by day and go out by night.
The prophets did.
They did.
Yeah. Okay, so thank you for sharing that with me. Okay, this scripture is just something that may be thoughtful for you. For behold, this is Dr. Kevin, section 3, verse 7 and 8, says, for behold, you should not have feared man more than God, although men set not the counsels of God and despise his words. Yet you should have been faithful, and he would have extended his arm and supported you against all the fiery darts of the adversary. He would have been with you in every trouble. So when we work with the Lord and are obedient, he's going to protect us from adversarial darts and all kinds of negativity. But when we open the door to Satan, he comes in, and then he attacks. And then he takes away to make it look like somebody else took it away. But that's not how God works. He doesn't work in darkness.
I agree with you 100%. And that's what the Lord is doing for me. Exactly what he's doing for me.
We have not
opened the door for darkness now. Darkness is knocking on the door all the time because that's the way dark works with the light. And I promise you I have done nothing wrong in this case, but sometimes you have to hide in the cavity of a rock for your own life safety. And that's what the Lord requires of you sometimes. And that's how it is. And I'm sorry that's how it is, because there is a lot of darkness on the earth.
Yeah.
This. Speak after me for zero reason besides the darkness of Kay, which you already know she's dark.
I haven't met her enough to know if she's dark or not. I've just met her slightly, and she seemed like a normal kind of person, but then I haven't engaged with her that much, so I don't know that personally.
So you don't know about her changing the thing to for herself to be the beneficiary of the policy and all that stuff? None of that's dark, right?
Well, I haven't seen those documents, so I have no way of knowing.
You've seen them on my computer.
No, I have not. I haven't even looked in on your computer before.
Yeah, I don't know if you're being controversial to me or if you're recording this conversation for the police or whatever. I don't know what your intention is on this phone call.
Well,
but with all my heart, and I have forever, and I will always
be. I appreciate those words, but if you really loved me, you wouldn't have told the police that I had JJ with me. That's not what a friend does. I mean, that just makes me look weird, and it's not safe for me. That doesn't look good. I mean, you have to think of my welfare if you love me.
I do, and I did exactly what I felt the Lord was instructing me to do. And I appreciate you, and I love you.
Well,
and I don't do anything to harm you, and you can have all of this confirmed to you by the Lord.
I have. And my conscience is clear. I feel very understanding what's really going on, Lori. And I believe that you have been very deceived by Satan. I believe that he has tricked you. And I don't believe that what you're doing is correct. I just don't. I mean, Tammy dies, and then your husband died, and then he's missing. It just doesn't sound like God's plan to me. It gives me a gut feeling, like in my gut, it feels weird, it doesn't feel right, I don't have peace about it, I never have felt 100% peace about it, I always felt like a little weird in my stomach about all these things.
You know me, Mel. You know me. This does not sound like you. This sounds like you've been influenced by somebody dark who wants you to believe dark things and have fear of the celestial world.
I don't have fear.
You obviously do.
No, I have a peace of conscience, and I can see clearly.
Well, I'm sorry that you feel that way. I love you so much.
I know you do. I don't know what else to say.
Stand Christ when he comes again, and he's coming soon, and we will all stand there. And you will know at that point that he has supported me and has supported you the whole time, and I have not been deceived.
I just want to testify that I know Tammy that the conspiracy theories, my sister-in-law's right behind it all, and I hope that you're not being influenced by that dark team.
I don't know who she is. I'm sorry, you said your sister-in-law? I don't even know her.
I know, but she's coming up with the same type of theories. Mm-hmm. And it's just not true. My own children were there. They testified that Tammy had been getting weaker and sick, and I begged her to go to the doctor. Her heart was failing her. She was physically falling apart. She hates doctors, so she just passed away. That's how it happened. My son Garth was right there with me the whole time. My kids were at the house within 20 minutes of her passing. There were two coroners. They checked her out right there on the bed. All these conspiracy theories just make me sick to my stomach. Just absolutely sick. I know it's been told 3 years that Tammy would pass away at a young age. And I had no idea that Lori would even be a part of my life. I just knew that my life had two segments. And I know Tammy's on a special mission, and she's with my kids. She's visited them. There's so much, Melanie, that you just have to have faith. And this is not some sort of master plan. There's no way, Logan. I should never come up with this. It's just...
You can understand my concern, correct?
I can, from an outside perspective, but from a...
From someone who knows as much as you know, no. Not really. But we can feel Dave's influence on you. I can feel that, for sure.
He's a very good man, and he has a very strong foundation, that I know.
I know, but he seems to be the one that's putting the doubts in your mind.
No, you know what? I have come to understand that my gut feeling, I was not listening to it. And I always felt uncomfortable with many things.
Okay.
Well, I'm sorry that I included you in those teachings then for your own sake, because I wish that you didn't have as much knowledge as you have, because you will be accountable for the knowledge that you do have, Mom.
So are you.
I so agree 100%.
Yeah,
100%. I have no fear.
Yeah.
I have no fear of that.
But I really, you know, so I was reading the story of Korakor, and it's so very similar to this, you just can't see it. But he did it because he was trying to reclaim a people, and he thought at the very end, because of his carnal and natural desires, that's what influenced him. And he was very, very...
Carnal and natural desires?
Well, honey, you got a lot of natural desires. We all know that.
That's what you think is me, Korakor? Are you kidding me right now?
I think both of you have similarities. It's in the scriptures. It's in the scriptures. And the scriptures are very powerful.
Yes, they are. I live by the scriptures, as you know.
I know, but we can rest the scriptures for our own vain glory.
I rested the scriptures?
We can do that, and I feel that you have. Our belief systems.
Do I rest the scriptures? Is that what you're accusing me of at this point?
I feel that you have.
How? Why do you feel that way? I need an explanation on this.
Because if you look, like the scripture just
came in.
Okay.
Do you read the scriptures every single day? You know?
Why don't you read it? I don't doubt that. But this scripture right here says that you will be supported by all against the fiery darts of the adversary. You would have been supported if you had not opened dark portals and dark junk. You would have been safe if you would have obeyed God. He would have had your back. But you have been chased and tortured.
I whether you do this or not,
I'm sorry?
He has your back. So,
well, if he has your back, you would not be able to tell me where you are, and we couldn't find JJ. Like, where is he? I've been asking, where is he? And, you know what I mean? Like, that's...
I can tell everything where JJ is right now, and that would not be good, JJ. So, I'm sorry that you don't want me to protect my children, but I would never ask you to not protect your children.
Of course you wouldn't.
So, I can tell that you're just adversarial, Mel. I love you. I'm sorry that you feel this way.
Because I actually do care. I'm sharing what I feel for you because I know your salvation's in trouble for what you've done.
And my salvation is not in trouble at all. And I think you should check that with the Lord again.
Oh, I felt a lot of things from the Lord. And this doesn't feel right.
Well, I'm sorry that you feel that way, sweetheart. I'm sorry that you're friends with all those who are against me. Joseph Smith's friends turned against me.
I'm not a friend. I'm not friends with people that are against you.
Apparently you are.
I am not. I don't know Kay. I don't know who you're talking about. Your sister, I don't even know what her name or who she is. I don't know any of those people. Why would they contact me anyway? How would I even know about that?
Well, you're friends with Dave, and
Well, David is a very righteous man, and I've always known that grounding about him. And he has a lot of beautiful experiences with the Lord, and these are not the same. You know, when you get the priesthood, as Peter, James, and John shows up, and then he confirms all of those in the circle that are to get it, and everybody's a witness of that. Everybody's a witness that the pattern is in the scriptures. There's no witness that you ever receive what you think you receive. Nobody has seen that but you. There's no witness. The witness, Joseph Smith, Oliver Cowdery, Martin Parrish, the eight witnesses, they all showed up.
Is there a witness that Jesus, Heavenly Father, gave that Joseph Smith by himself in the grove? Was there a witness?
No, but They had it later with other people. That was one experience, but others joined in later. When he brought other people into it, they had experiences.
That in the scriptures, yes or no?
I'm sorry?
Is that in the scriptures, yes or no?
That Joseph was alone when he saw God the Father and Jesus Christ?
Yes.
Yes, he was alone.
He was alone.
But he had to open it up first.
That's not a pattern at all.
Honey, what I'm saying is that after he saw that and other people joined in, they saw the things with him. He wasn't alone. There was a witness for them. There was no witness. Anybody's never seen what you've seen or experienced what you've seen. That is your own witness. But nobody
knows
that.
No, God knows it, and I will never deny it. For my soul would be at stake if I did. So you can say it didn't happen to me, Mel, but if I say it, then I am accountable. You didn't witness it.
But your behaviors is not okay. I understand that's what you believe you saw, but this is the thing, as I see, is that your behavior is not one of somebody that's in Christ. Your behavior. What?
Never had any idea that you would be the person of all people to turn me.
I'm asking questions, and I am concerned for you. That is what somebody does when they care.
You don't sound like you're concerned. You sound like you're accusatory. You do not sound concerned. You sound pissed off.
I'm not. I am troubled. Maybe that's the better word. Troubled. Because these things, like you being with Chad before he's even divorced, is unusual behavior for a person that's seen Jesus Christ.
I was never with him, and he was never divorced.
Honey, I've seen you guys together. I've never seen you with Chad kiss him and walk around the track at BYU with him. I never saw that. You see,
you're the one that's feeling guilty about being with someone before they were divorced.
Oh, honey. I think that's not what we're talking about here.
Wait, it's not what we're talking about here. That's what I'm saying. You are going off the deep end. But
well, I'm just saying this is not a behavior of someone that sees Jesus Christ. It's not the behavior.
Really? Have you ever seen Jesus Christ? So do you know what the future behavior would be if you had seen Jesus Christ?
I know that when I pray.
Lord asks each of you every day, and he does protect me, and he is protecting me, and he will protect me against this accusation as well. And we will both stand there with him. And you tell me if I was lying or not. But we're both standing there with Jesus Christ.
Okay. And that's the end of the audio, Your Honor.
All right. Having heard the published audio then out of Exhibit 42, this would be a good time for us to take our mid-morning break. So we will take about a 20-minute recess and return for further testimony after that.
All rise, please.
Thank you. Please be seated. We'll have the jurors brought back to you.
more eyes, please.
All right, thank you. Please be seated. We're back on the record on KCR 2221-1624. We've got a witness, Ms. Gibb, who is testifying, however, not present in the witness box. Is the witness here?
She is, Your Honor. Is the court ready for her to be brought in? I believe she's just in a room outside.
Okay, thank you. All right, thank you. Ms. Gibb, I'll remind you, you're still under oath for your testimony. Ms. Blake, you can continue the direct examination.
Turn on my speaker. Thank you, Your Honor. Ms. Gibb, we just heard a recording that was made by you on December 8th of 2019. Could you clearly hear that?
Yes.
Do you recall why you made that recording?
I made it for several reasons. At first, I was trying to inquire the whereabouts of JJ for his safety. I also wanted to, record her explaining how I didn't know anything about the whereabouts of JJ and any other information I could learn, like where they were, those, just those kinds of inquiries.
And why had you become concerned about the whereabouts of JJ?
Because they initially told me that he was safe with Kay, and then the police are now involved and questioning where JJ is, and she says, and Chad says that Kay doesn't have them, and so that started to bring some questions to me, like what's really going on, but just not sure. And some just, thoughts with Alex talking to him and trying to get more clarification.
And circling back, you indicated the last time you saw JJ would have been the night of September 22nd.
Correct.
And you stayed at Lori's residence that night, is that correct?
That's correct.
What room did you stay in?
So she let me sleep in Tylee's room, and then David slept in JJ's room, but I would often go back and forth. And so that night, I remember just being in David's room, which was in Tylee's JJ's room. That's what I recall.
So you were in that room with David for most of the night?
I believe so.
Do you recall if David had any kind of an issue that night, health issues or otherwise?
Yeah, he woke up very troubled from a dream that he had, and he just was in a really very heavy, just really felt his heart was racing. He was very kind of scared by the dream.
Did you do anything at that point?
I did. I got my cell phone, and I text and or, like, I think I did both. I called Lori, called Chad, to see if they could maybe give him a blessing. I went to her door and knocked, or I don't know if I knocked on it, but I tried to open her door and it was locked. So I went back to the room.
Did she respond to your call or your text?
No.
Did Chad respond to any attempts to reach him?
No.
And that was the night of September 22nd?
Correct.
And that's the last night you saw JJ?
That's correct.
And just to clarify, you ended up leaving the next day. Do you recall what time of day you left?
Yeah, I would say somewhere after 8 in the morning.
And you did not see JJ on the next morning?
I do not recall seeing him.
And then in November, you get the call about saying JJ's with you.
Correct.
And at that time, you learn he's not with Kay.
That's correct.
Did Lori ever tell you where he was?
No.
When you made that call on December 8th and you heard the audio, there's a few things in there that I wanted to go over with you.
Okay.
A comment is made that for someone who knows as much as you, that Lori can't believe that you're asking these questions, essentially.
Yes.
Do you know what she meant by that? Or what, did you take it to mean?
I took it to mean that all the things that she had learned about multiple lives, multiple probations, all her teachings, all the teachings of Chad and her. Oh, sorry. And multiple probations about people being light, people being dark, those teachings, that's what she was referring to, and that's what how I understood it to be.
And when you say those teachings, whose teachings were they?
I think they originated from Chad.
Did Lori also participate in teaching those things?
She did.
And we've talked about what religion you're part of.
Correct.
Are those the same teachings that are generally taught in the LDS faith?
Absolutely not.
And there's also a comment made that you're going to be accountable for the knowledge you do have.
Right.
What did you take that to mean?
All the teachings that she taught, she felt that I would be accountable for all that she shared with me.
And do you know, what did you take it to mean as far as who you would be accountable to?
God.
And there's another comment in there, and I think you say to her something along the lines of, for someone that has seen Jesus Christ or that sees Jesus Christ, do you recall making that comment?
I do.
Why did you make that comment?
Her character, from my understanding of Christ, is when she was having her relationships with Chad and some deception and lying that was going on at times, and just her behaviors, being with him and also being married, that did not, to me, represent someone that would know Christ at that level.
And when you say at that level, had Lori indicated that she had seen Jesus?
She did.
What did she indicate regarding that?
She shared with me when she first met me that she had seen him in the temple and that he appeared to her.
And as part of the LDS faith, do people sometimes say they've had revelations?
People say they have revelations, yes.
And would that be part of the regular teachings of the church?
Yes.
And if someone has revelations, do others sometimes turn to them for guidance or advice?
People that have authority to do that, yes.
So if Lori was seeing Jesus, would that potentially lead people to turn to her for advice?
No, I don't believe so.
Previously, we talked a little bit about some castings. Do you know who organized the castings that you participated in?
Lori.
Were there any assignments given during those castings?
I think she tried to talk to them about, you know, what they could potentially say during that time. Yeah.
And when you say she, was that Lori?
Lori, yes.
And we also talked about the light and dark scale.
Yes.
And I believe you indicated when asked about Tammy that maybe Tammy became dark close to the time of her death.
Correct.
Do you recall learning of Tammy Daybell's passing?
I do.
Do you recall what date that was?
I believe it was in October, but I don't remember the date.
Do you recall if you learned of it the day that she passed?
I believe it was the day after she passed, through a friend who sent a text to me to show me a little memo that she got from Facebook from Chad's account. And then a random friend sent it to me and said, look, what happened? That's how I learned of it.
And when we talk about the day after, could it have been the day that it was announced or that it was reported?
The day that it was reported, yes.
Did you reach out to Lori at that time?
I did.
How did you reach out to her?
I called her on her phone.
Do you recall if you also texted her?
I don't remember.
When you talked to her on the phone, do you recall what time of day that was?
It was in the morning.
The early morning, mid-morning, if you recall?
It felt like it was closer to mid-morning.
Did she tell you about the passing, or did you tell her?
I told her and then asked her more about it.
Did she seem to have already known about it when you talked to her?
She seemed that she knew something was going on. She said that two of the girls from the group of women that we've discussed earlier had called her and inquired about that.
Did you ask her any questions about it?
I did.
What did she tell you?
I first asked her, I said, did you know that Tammy died? And then I believe I don't know how she indicated, but because of the conversation she had with the two other ladies, that she knew about it through them. And I'm sorry, what was the question again?
I asked it pretty broad, so I'll narrow it down. Did she tell you anything about what she knew regarding Tammy's passing?
So I asked her what happened to Tammy, and she says she had a dark entity in her, and they had to do what they could to get that spirit out of her.
And when she said they did what they had to do, did you know who she was referring to?
Her and Chad.
Do you recall if she indicated anything regarding Tammy's knowledge of an affair or suspicion of an affair?
She said she was starting to get suspicious.
And by she was starting to get suspicious, was that Tammy?
Correct.
Did Lori indicate how she knew that?
I recall a conversation she had with me about Charles knew Tammy, by phone or something, like there was some connection between their conversations and maybe another girl. I think it was Christina understood that there was something wrong going on earlier on, and she might have shared some information. I don't know. It was a little bit of information Lori had shared with me. That's all I would have known is from her, but I think that's where it came from.
Do you recall if Lori indicated how long Tammy had been suspicious of that before she passed away?
I would say no longer than 2 weeks.
Do you recall if Lori indicated how long Tammy had been possessed or dark before she passed away?
Maybe it wasn't more than 2 weeks, so it could have been less than 2 weeks, but it was a short period of time.
So Tammy becoming dark or possessed and her getting suspicious of the affair, to the best of your knowledge, happened around the same time?
About the fair part, I'm not sure. But the dark part is, yes.
About 2 weeks before?
Correct.
Did Lori ever... I'll back that up. Charles is killed on July 11th of 2019. Is
correct.
That correct?
Correct.
Tammy is alive until October 19th of 2019, or about that time.
Correct.
In the meantime, while Charles has passed away and Tammy's still alive, did Lori ever indicate anything to you regarding her relationship with Chad or any frustration?
Yes, she was eager to move to Idaho to be with him. She was frustrated that Tammy had not passed on yet. She kept being told by her own personal revelation that she was supposed to pass away, according to Chad's as well, that she was supposed to pass away by now. I remember one time they said she was supposed to get in a car accident, but she never did. So she was feeling some frustration about being there, why he was still married to her.
All right. We'll pause the proceedings for a minute. We've got a phone that went off, so we'll have the marshal take that. Thank you. Apologies. You can continue, Ms. Blake. Thank you.
Thank you. When you talked to Lori after Tammy had passed away, did she indicate how she was feeling?
Sorry, my mind's drifting a little bit. She was very happy to move on and get married to Chad. She was very excited about being married to him and being with him.
Do you recall her expressing any sorrow or sadness?
No.
Was it similar to the demeanor you'd observed shortly after Charles had died?
Yes.
And we talked about some of these teachings of Chad and Lori's, and we've talked about the light and dark scale. Do you also recall anything being taught to you or told you regarding a trust scale?
Little bit. I don't remember the words trust scale. Might have been another word, but yeah, that she had percentages on stuff, like, yeah, some percentages, and I can't remember all the words, like if they're trusting or other words that would indicate their loyal, maybe their loyalty to them or maybe where they were spiritually.
And when you say she had some scales, who is she?
Lori.
Do you recall ever being told anything about vibrations?
Yes.
And who told you about the vibrations?
Lori told me.
What do you recall her telling you about vibrations?
And that vibrations had to do with what level of spirituality you're at. So, for example, if you were at, I think, 1,000 vibrations, you were more in a higher spiritual level. They called it more terrestrial level.
And when you're in these different levels,
mm-hmm.
Do you know what the vibrations were leading to as your vibrations increased?
They were leading to more the body being translated and, yeah, mostly that is your body being translated and changed.
And do you recall who had talked to you about the vibrations and the translations?
Lori.
Do you recall what you were told regarding if someone, while someone was becoming translated, what changes they would go through?
Sometimes she would say she didn't have to eat necessarily. She would get younger. Maybe her menstrual cycle would not be changed and things like that.
So it could include physical changes.
Correct.
Would it be safe to say that these changes would take someone beyond the normal mortal body that we're given?
Yeah, higher level of, yeah.
Did Lori ever indicate if she had her own visions?
She was not one to claim so much of as a visionary. I think she said she would have a dream here or there.
Would she talk to you about what those dreams were?
Yes.
And was that similar to the dream she'd had regarding Charles dying?
Correct.
So did Lori believe that these dreams would actually come true?
She indicated she believed it.
Were these things also taught to Alex Cox?
Yes.
Did you ever have conversations with Alex Cox?
I did.
What was your understanding or what did he tell you regarding his belief in what they were teaching?
He gradually began to learn about it. Not in the beginning, but near, you know, more closer to the end of my relationship with them. And he really did believe that these entities were zombies now, or these the people that they were hoping would pass away, he indicated that he believed they really were zombies.
And when you talk about the people they were hoping would pass away, who is they?
Charles, Tylee, JJ, Tammy.
And who was hoping they would pass away?
Chad and Lori.
And you say Alex initially wasn't taught some of these things. Do you know the reason why?
He just wasn't, around the conversations in the beginning. Just he was kind of popping in and out of her house, and so it just wasn't disclosed in the beginning.
But he believed in what Chad and Lori were teaching him.
He did.
And he truly, to the best of your understanding, he believed that people could become zombies.
I asked him if, I told him I didn't 100% believe it was true, and he said he 100% believed it.
And in that recording from December 8th, you talk about a conversation you had with Alex.
Correct.
And I believe you said you asked him if you wanted to know what happened to JJ?
Yeah.
And what was his response?
He says, you don't want to know.
And when you visited Lori in September, is that when she told you JJ was a zombie?
Yes.
Was Alex Cox there?
Yes.
If I can have just a moment, Your Honor.
You may.
I have no further questions, Your Honor.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Blake. Who will be conducting cross-examination?
I will, Judge.
All right. Mr. Thomas, you can commence with your cross-examination. As we get started here, Mr. Thomas, I'll remind you and the witness both, please, to not talk at the same time in the cross-examination so we can keep the record straight.
Right. Thank you, Judge.
You can inquire.
Ms. Gibb, you've met with the prosecution on several occasions over the last couple of years, right?
Correct.
Okay. When was the last time you met with them?
A few years ago. I don't remember a few years ago.
So you didn't meet with them in preparation for this trial today?
Not physically.
What does that mean?
I didn't meet face-to-face with them. I met on Zoom, but I was thinking about when I met with the officers down there. That's what I'm referring to.
Okay.
Sorry, I wasn't thinking of just the interactions I had with Lindsay on Zoom. I was just thinking about an interaction I had physically with them.
What was the last interaction you had with either Ms. Blake or one of the other prosecutors?
It was I'm trying to remember what month it was. Was it end of March, beginning of April, I believe?
So this month?
It could have been the very end of last month.
Okay. And did you go over your testimony with them?
Yes.
And prior to that, when was the time before that that you met with the prosecution?
It felt like it was back in Chandler, a year or two. I don't remember how long it's been now. It's been a while.
Okay. When you went over this with, you said Ms. Blake, is that right?
Correct.
When you went over your testimony with her, were you as forgetful as you've been today?
Yes.
Okay. Do you recall writing a 7-page, I guess I would say outline, and sending that to Rob Wood?
I remember sending it to a few people. Most likely I did.
Mm-hmm. Have you had a chance to go over that?
No.
No. You sent it back in July of 2020 and haven't looked at it since then?
Oh, I might have looked at it during that month or two, but I haven't looked at it in a long time. I don't know where it is. I can't find it, so I don't know where it is.
Did you ask the prosecutors for a copy of it? Because they gave me a copy of it.
I asked Lindsay if they had some things that I'd share with Rob, like just like remembering points to help me remember different events, and I didn't receive it.
Okay, but you asked for it?
I might have gotten an email, but I don't believe they were attached to it. I could be wrong, but I'm not recalling it.
Okay.
But I did get some things from her.
Your Honor, I know what the court's probably going to do on this, but I'm going to ask the court to strike this witness's testimony based on Idaho Criminal Rule 16b6. The state has had...
Your Honor, I would ask for a sidebar.
All right.
All right, there's an objection that's going to be argued. We've determined it would be more appropriate to argue this outside of the presence of the jurors. So if all would please rise, we'll have the jurors excused to the jury room while this issue is sorted out.
All right.
Thank you. Please be seated. Mr. Thomas, you lodged an objection. Why don't you indicate again the nature of your objection? I'll allow further response from the state.
Thank you, Your Honor. The defense objects to the witness's testimony based on Idaho Criminal Rule 16, parens B, parens 6, which regards state witnesses. I'd like to read the rule just on the record, just so for appellate purposes. Is that okay with the court?
Yes.
Says, parens 6 says, state's witnesses, on written request of the defendant, the prosecuting attorney must furnish to the defendant a written list of the names and addresses of all persons having knowledge of relevant facts who may be called by the state as witnesses at the trial, together with any record of prior felony convictions of any of them that is within the knowledge of the prosecuting attorney. And this is the pertinent part, Your Honor. The prosecuting attorney must also furnish, on written request, the statements made by the prosecution witnesses or prospective prosecution witnesses to the prosecuting attorney or the prosecuting attorney's agents or to any official involved in the investigation of the case unless a protective order is issued as provided in subsection 1 of this rule. It is my argument that the state received statements from Ms. Gibb that she just testified to, and she indicated that she met with the prosecutor, and the prosecutor did not turn over those statements.
Are you talking about oral statements or the written 7-page outline she referred to?
Oral statements. We received the 7-page outline. The oral statements I'm referring to are the statements made to Ms. Blake over Zoom or anything else that she's discussed with the prosecution.
All right. What's the response to this objection from the state?
Your Honor, I think we've previously litigated this, and I understand counsel's desire to preserve the issue, but moving forward, the state would request any of these arguments be heard outside the presence of the jury. That being said, I also have that rule pulled up, and I think there's simply a different interpretation being applied by defense than is intended by the rule. The rule does indicate that all statements of a prosecution witness or prospective witness known to the state have to be turned over. I do not think that rule contemplates somebody saying hi or something unrelated to the case being turned over. All statements have already been turned over. The state and the defense are allowed to meet with witnesses. They are allowed to do witness prep. If any new statements or new information is learned, I agree that rule requires those to be turned over. In this case, there was nothing new learned. All of the statements made, the testimony here today, are information that is well within the defense's possession. It has been turned over in discovery, the 7-page outline referenced by defense counsel, copies of prior testimony, transcripts of prior testimony, and police reports have all been turned over to the defense, which contained the information. There was nothing new learned, no new information obtained, no new statements made, which would require disclosure under Idaho Criminal Rule 16. So the state's position is we have absolutely complied with the discovery request, and the defense's attempt to broaden that requirement is simply not within the purview of the statute or the intent of the statute. So we would ask that defense's motion be denied.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Blake. If you'll give me just a moment, I'm reviewing some authority here. And Mr. Thomas, do you have any rebuttal argument after the state's argument there?
No, Your Honor.
All right. The court's reviewed the objection that's been made under Rule 16. It's a long rule. B6. And considered some authority that governs that as well. The first issue is a practical concern I would have is the timeliness of this objection. If you're asking me to strike the witness, was that your request, strike the witness or the witness's prior testimony here?
The witness's prior testimony.
Okay, so you're asking me to tell the jury to disregard everything they've heard all day today.
Well, Your Honor, unfortunately, I made this objection yesterday or 2 days ago, and the court shot me down, and so I thought the only appropriate time to make this objection would be when I was on here on cross-exam.
Okay. I would find that impractical for purposes of this witness, obviously, with the jury having already heard the significant amount of the entire direct examination of the state. But further, looking at the rule itself, the rule does not preclude the state or the defense from meeting with witnesses who may be testifying at trial and preparing with them for testimony. I think the rule contemplates the issue I brought up with the 7-page outline someone has now. That would be a different story if you had not been supplied that and the state had that in its custody and was not turned over. I'd see that differently, but there's been a record made that you did get that. In terms of what the rule allows, it's to make sure that parties know who's going to testify, how to locate them, and any statements they may have made, such as statements made to police, witness statements that often come up in cases, those types of statements. And so looking at some case law, also State versus Montgomery, 163 Idaho 40, I think that the objection at this point is unfounded as it relates to this witness, and I will deny the motion to strike the testimony for both the practical consideration that she's already testified on direct as well as under Rule 16B6. I just don't find that applies given the circumstances here. So that'll be the court's ruling as it relates to this witness. And then going forward, Mr. Thomas, again, if you want to maintain the record. I understand that, and you can lodge the objection. Unless there's some written previously provided statements, I would likely be ruling the same way, so we'll just take those up with each witness if you think the matter needs to be raised. That'll be the court's ruling then on the objection, and we'll have the jurors return to the courtroom so you can continue your cross-examination.
Prior to that, may I just get that citation, Judge?
Yes, it was State versus Montgomery, 163 Idaho 40, and that's a 2017 Idaho case.
Thank you, Your Honor.
You're welcome. All right, we'll have the jurors brought back.
And just to not be disruptive, the next time a witness comes in, should I make the objection at before the state calls or asks their first question, or how do you want me to do that?
That probably is more effective
okay.
in terms of making your objection if you want to continue to lodge it.
Very good, Your Honor. Thank you.
You're welcome.
There's more to come in Segment 3 and Segment 4. Press subscribe so you don't miss any of it wherever you download podcasts. And if you'd like a commercial-free version, subscribe to your Apple Podcasts right now and get access to all of our channels ad-free. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.
This is Continuous Coverage.
Continuous Coverage.
Continuous Coverage.
In the trial of Lori Vallow Daybill
from the Hidden Killers Podcast.
Hidden Killers Podcast.
Lowe's knows tough jobs call for tougher tools. The new DeWalt Elite Series power tool accessories are built to last for the pro who doesn't stop. With precision fitment, durability, and impact resistance, finishing jobs faster has never been easier. Shop the new DeWalt Elite Series at an everyday low price exclusively at Lowe's. We help, you save.